And today we will be looking particularly at two verses in this chapter, verses 42 and 43. The next two verses in this chapter, we ended last week, the end of verse 41. But to get the context, we will go back and begin reading God's very word in verse 36. So hear now the reading of God's very word, John chapter 12, beginning in verse 36. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. And though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And therefore they could not believe, for again Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Well, let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Lord, please come now, and Lord Jesus, preach your good news to our hearts. Revive our hearts to love you, Lord Jesus. Open our eyes to see your glory and give us a soft heart, Lord, that would repent and keep on repenting and believe and keep on believing, clinging to you, Lord Jesus, the only Savior. Lord, we ask that you would capture us with your glory and deliver us from living for and clinging to the glory of man. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Loving the glory. Loving the glory. But whose? Here in this passage, we see at the end of this section now where the Lord Jesus Christ has come really to the end of his earthly ministry in the sense of publicly preaching the gospel. He is now soon going to go to the cross and die. That's the historical context that we see these words and these chapters revealing to us, the time frame. And the Lord Jesus Christ had revealed his glory. The miracles had revealed the glory of Christ. But even in the face of his miracles, the glory of Christ had been revealed in his teaching. The people would always be astonished at his teaching when they would hear him. They should have believed in him just from the works that he did. Jesus himself said that. Believe in me not just because of what I say, but because of the works that I do. But they should have believed in him as he revealed his glory, his majesty, the beauty of who he is, that he was the one who came to make the Father known. God walking on the earth, the creator and sustainer of the universe, in flesh, walking among men. He was predicted in the Old Testament. They should have believed in him just from the standpoint of all of the testimony of the Old Testament that pointed irrefutably and clearly to him. And that's where we left off last time. I want you to notice again in verse 41, Isaiah said these things. Here we have two quotes from the book of Isaiah, one from Isaiah chapter 53 that we see there in John 12, verse 38. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? This section of one of the servant songs in the book of Isaiah that reveals a truth about Messiah. The glory of Messiah is revealed in these servant songs in the book of Isaiah. And John, the Apostle John, said, Isaiah said these things. You see that in verse 41? Isaiah said these things. Isaiah said these things because he, Isaiah, saw his, Jesus, glory. Isaiah, the prophet, was privileged to be whisked up into the throne room of heaven by the Spirit of God, and God revealed to the prophets of old the majesty and splendor and truth of who God is and his saving plan in the fullness of time to send his own son to be the Redeemer. And Isaiah said these things in the Old Testament because he saw the glory of Jesus. The Jews should have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ because Moses and Abraham and all of the prophets spoke about Jesus. He was the one that they were talking about. That was what the revelation of God was all about. Now, let's look at several other passages of Scripture. First of all, from the mouth of the Lord Jesus himself over in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, we have a summary statement where Jesus himself in his earthly ministry after he was raised from the dead reveals to the disciples that if you would understand the Old Testament, you would see the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think I don't remember what context it was. I don't remember whether it was a Sunday morning sermon or a Sunday evening or one of the prayer meetings. But recently, I shared with somebody that when I first came to Tazewell, I had a dear, godly Christian friend who was a pastor. And he was a man who was very dear to my heart, but he had a view that the Old Testament was about a different subject matter than the New Testament. And we were talking and praying together one day, and he looked at me and he said, Henry, he said, what one word sums up and proves the Old Testament? And I just kind of hung my head because I thought, I know where this is going. And I looked at him and I said, you know, brother so-and-so, I know what you want me to answer, but that's not the answer I'm going to give you. The answer I'm going to give you is Jesus. And he shook his head. He said, no, no, no. That's not the right answer. That's not the one word that sums up and proves the Old Testament. He said, the one word that sums up and proves the Old Testament is Israel. That's the focal point, he said, of the Old Testament. And I said, well, brother, I said, you are older in years than I am. And I really don't want to disagree with you, but I said, let's look at some passages of Scripture together. And this was one of the passages that we looked at together. I said, here's what Jesus said the Old Testament was all about. And I want you to just think about that. Because even in our day and time, there are many people who are confused about what the Old Testament is really about. The Jews were confused in Jesus' day. They had the same confusion. They thought that all of God's dealings focused on them as a nation, unique from all of the other nations of the world, and it was all about them being a cut above everybody else. But that's not the message that God says they should have seen and heard and understood. Look with me in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We'll begin reading in verse 13. That very day, talking about the day Jesus was raised, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad, and then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision, even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken.'" Now I want you to notice this statement of Jesus in verse 25. He says, "O foolish ones and slow of heart." And why were these disciples being described by Jesus as foolish and slow of heart? It was because, he says, they didn't believe all that the prophets have spoken. And he clarifies now. What's he talking about? What is it that is the sum of what all that the prophets are about? He says, the reason you're foolish and slow of heart is you've missed the most important thing. You've missed what the prophets were all about. Here's the sum. All that the prophets have spoken about is summed up in this one thing. Look what he says, verse 26. "Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And you remember now from the last couple of weeks that this passage, and really the whole of the Gospel of John, is about God coming and revealing his glory. The Word became flesh, John 1, verse 14. And we beheld what? His glory. Glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The glory of God is revealed. Well, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? In verse 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All the scriptures pointed to one thing. All the scriptures are summed up in one thing. all the scriptures have one destination. If you rightly understand any particular path or topic or issue or passage of scripture, if you rightly understand it, it will lead you to this destination, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. After he would suffer, he would enter into his glory. Now, we keep reading, verse 28. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them, and when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?" Years ago, I was preaching the gospel at one of the prisons in the area. And I told the men, I said, "Tonight we're going to talk about God's heartburn. This is the heartburn that God gives you. And you don't want Rolaids, you don't want Maalox when you get this kind of heartburn. This is the kind of heartburn that you just delight to have. And this is the kind of heartburn that you get when Jesus comes by his Spirit and opens the scriptures to you. And what happens when Jesus comes by his Spirit and opens the scriptures to you? You see something. You understand something. You believe one thing: the glory of Jesus, the person and work of Jesus Christ. And they said, "We should have known who it was when we look back. Were not our hearts burning within us when he came and opened the scriptures to us?" Well, let's keep. What was it that Jesus did when he opened the scriptures? Look up in verse 27. He interpreted the things in the scriptures concerning what? Himself. Concerning himself. You see, the Old Testament scriptures are all about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let's keep reading. Verse 36. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they saw a spirit. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. And then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And I want you to notice in verse 44 and 45 and 46 that Jesus now is again giving us a summary statement of what the Old Testament is all about. It wasn't just Isaiah in this unique, isolated sense seeing the glory of Jesus. When we read in John 12, verse 41, Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory. That statement is in the context of its the message of all of the prophets. This wasn't an exception. As John puts forth now, this horrifying evidence that the Jews should have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only because of the miracles that Jesus did, not only because of His teaching, but the Old Testament scriptures themselves irrefutably and clearly proved and prophesied that Messiah would come, He would suffer and die and be raised from the dead, and then enter into His glory. And so Jesus gives this summary. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. He's telling these disciples on the day He was raised from the dead and appeared to them. He says, guys, this is what I told you all along. You just didn't pay any attention. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Here we have a designation for the whole of the Old Testament. Sometimes it's divided into two parts, the law and the prophets. Sometimes it's referred to in three terms, but it's referring to the whole of the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi, all of these Old Testament books. Look at verse 45. Then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. He opened their minds. He gave them a key. He says, here's what now is the key to understanding the Old Testament Scriptures. He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. And here's the key. Jesus gives it to the disciples, verse 46. And He said to them, thus it is written. Now, usually when we have a thus it is written, you will find an exact quotation from some particular passage in the Old Testament. And I love to ask people, well, where from the Old Testament is this quote? And I usually tell people if I'm kind to them. Now, before you answer, it's kind of a trick question. Because I've had people say, well, I believe, isn't that in the book of Deuteronomy? Or isn't that in the book of, you know, 2 Samuel? And you know, in a sense, they're not wrong, but in another sense, they are, because you won't find these very words anywhere in the Old Testament. And so what's going on? Well, Jesus didn't make a mistake. He is the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. He is giving a divine summary of the Old Testament. He's saying, here's what I'm telling you the Old Testament is all about. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day and rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And then Jesus goes on to say, now you are the witnesses of this truth. But I want you to see Jesus telling us here in this passage, it's not just Isaiah that saw the glory of Jesus, that recorded and spoke and wrote the Word of God in the Old Testament. But Jesus says all of the Old Testament, that's the message. That's the bottom line message of the whole of the Old Testament, the person and work of Christ, that He would come to suffer and then enter into His glory. All right, let's look at another passage of Scripture over in the book of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And this is another passage where we have a summary statement now. And so when Jesus reveals to us His glory in Isaiah, we need to understand this wasn't unique to the Old Testament. The whole of the Old Testament And so when the Apostle John now puts forth this declaration here in John 12, verse 41, Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory. He is bringing forth now evidence, and he could have quoted all the prophets. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll start reading the last few words of verse 7. May be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Though you have not seen him, talking about Jesus, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that would come to you, that was to be yours, searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow, the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. And so here again we see a passage where we have this summary statement, and the Apostle Peter says, here's what the Old Testament prophets were all about. Notice who it was that was speaking through them in verse 11. It was the Spirit of Christ. It was the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit here is identified as the Spirit of Christ. Now why? It's because Christ was speaking his word. Christ was revealing his glory through these Old Testament prophets. And notice what Peter says about their message, verse 10, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours. The prophets of the Old Testament prophesied about what? The grace that was to be yours. And notice down in verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but who? You, these New Testament Christians. The Old Testament message was for the purpose of instructing God's people to see that in the fullness of time, Messiah has come, and he is the one who fulfills all of these promises of the Old Testament. And notice verse 11, the content of their message, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. The Old Testament prophets, what was their message? It was about the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. And as the Old Testament prophets wrote about the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow, they were eaten up with curiosity about two things, about this Christ who would come and suffer and then begin his glorious reign. Look at verse 11, inquiring what person or time. The two things they were eaten up with curiosity about is the person. Who's he going to be? Who is Messiah? They wanted to know. And secondly, the time. When's he going to come? So that's what these Old Testament prophets were all about. It was all about who? It was all about Jesus. One more passage over in the book of Acts, chapter 7. Now, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, but I want to draw your attention to another aspect of this same passage. Here's the end of Stephen's defense. And Stephen has recounted before the Sanhedrin, the rulers of the Jews, the whole history of the Jewish nation. And at the end of his summary now of this history, here's what he says in verse 51 of Acts chapter 7. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to fellow Jews. And not just fellow Jews, he's talking to the rulers. And not just any rulers, but the Sanhedrin, the 70 elders, who were the religious and the civil rulers in Jerusalem. They were appointed, given authority by the Roman Empire, which was above them at this point in history. And here's what Stephen describes. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised. Ooh. Now that was fighting language to call a Jew an uncircumcised person. Uncircumcised in heart and ears. Now why would Stephen refer to these Jews who claim to be God's people and the holy, holy ones of God's people, the Pharisees? Why would they be referred to by Stephen as uncircumcised? Well, let's keep reading. You always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those. And who are those being killed? The prophets of the Old Testament, Stephen says. He asked a rhetorical question. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And how severe was the persecution? They killed them. That's what you call persecution. And Stephen says, these prophets were killed. Why? Because the message they preached wasn't appreciated, because they, just like their fathers, have an uncircumcised heart, a heart of unbelief. And how did it evidence itself in the days of the prophets with the fathers? They killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one. And here again is a powerful testimony, a summary. What was the overarching summary message? Yes, there were all kinds of particulars that the prophets in the Old Testament and the apostles in the New Testament and our Lord Jesus himself talked about. He talks about how to have a happy family, what a family is. He talks about sexuality and God's standard for how it ought to be viewed and expressed. He talks about how to do your calling. He talks about civil government, the role. The Bible talks about everything in life. But if you get on one of those roads and you follow it to where God intends you to, you will see your need of a Savior in terms of your family. You'll see your need of a Savior in terms of sexuality. You'll see your need of a Redeemer in terms of civil government, and it leads you to Jesus. And when you come to Jesus, you confess, I am a sinner, fallen in Adam, and I need your blood to make me clean. And then you and I will want to walk in those paths to honor Jesus and serve him. So when we say that the whole sum of the Old Testament is about Jesus, we're not denying. We're saying that, yes, the Bible, it talks about every minutia of life under the rule of Almighty God. But if you understand what God wants you to learn about all of life, you will see it leads us to trust in Jesus and then to learn of him and follow him. And that's what Stephen says. You are just like your fathers. You're full of unbelief. You're resisting the Holy Spirit. You're denying the clear testimony of of the glory of God. The Holy Spirit is revealing to you. And what are you doing? It just shows the hardness and the condition of man's heart apart from the grace of God. That in the face of the truth, what does sinful man do with the gospel? He says, no, thank you. I don't want that. The very thing that is his only hope, the natural man says, yuck, get that Jesus away from me. And that's what we see in our day. It wasn't just the Jews who had this problem. All mankind is in this condition. All mankind, all men and women, have a heart that is so hard. And so what's our hope? Our hope is there's a God who has the power to come and do a heart transplant on us and take out our heart that is hard and hates the glory of Christ and gives us a heart that loves the Lord Jesus, that sees that indeed I am a sinner and I need a Savior, and His name is Jesus. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw what? What did he see? The glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. And then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And so that's what John is describing for us now here in John chapter 12. He's describing this clear, irrefutable testimony from the whole of God's revelation. And one illustration of that is Isaiah. And so when we read in verse 41 of John chapter 12, Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Don't misunderstand that here's just a, whoo, what a fluke this is. Isaiah spoke about Jesus. Boy, that's odd. No, we ought to understand Isaiah, along with all of the other Old Testament prophets, spoke and revealed the glory of Christ. And you see, that makes the unbelief even more horrifying. You understand what's going on now a little better in John chapter 12? Well, we're going to have to stop there. That was the introduction. And I knew we probably wouldn't get through all of this today. But what we're going to see is, I want you to look in verse 42. There were Pharisees, and I want you to think, I want you to mull, I want you to be praying about this through this coming week, because we're going to look at this in greater detail. And I want you to think about this in terms of, Lord, capture me with the glory of Jesus. Don't let me be like these Pharisees. And secondly, it ought to stir us up to pray as we look out over our country. As we think about the state of our own nation. And yes, the other nations of the world, they need it too, but we desperately need to take heed to this message. Look at verse 41. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. And we're going to look at that verse. How could it be that men believe the gospel? They believe the truth about Jesus and yet would not confess it. Now, where did that leave them? And we're going to look. And I'll give you a little hint. There's a passage over in James chapter 2 that talks about demons believing. Same word. And it is the same Greek word as saving faith. But obviously, the demons don't have saving faith. And so it's possible to have intellectual assent to the truth and not be right with God. And we'll look at that in greater detail. But I want you to see that here were men who knew the truth, but they were afraid. They were afraid to confess Christ. They were afraid to take their stand, to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and say to the world, I belong to Jesus. I confess His name. Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord. He is the ruler over everything. We're going to look at that in greater detail. But notice what was going on in their heart, verse 43. Verse 43 tells us, these weren't people who had saving faith in Jesus. These are people who were so close to the kingdom. They knew the truth, but they just couldn't bring themselves to give Jesus the glory, to acknowledge His glory, to take His glory as their glory. Why? Verse 43, for they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. They said, you know, if I have to choose between God being pleased with me and identifying with this Jesus of Nazareth or having everybody around me nod and approve and say, oh yeah, he's good, she's good, you doing good. If you have to choose, who you going to choose? Who you going to choose? And we've got a country full of people who know the intellectual facts of the gospel, but they love the praise of man rather than the praise of God. So we'll look at that in greater detail. But the only cure for that is to see the real Jesus and the grace of God give you a heart that repents and believes in this Jesus. And when you love this Jesus, you're delivered from living for the praise of man. Yeah, you know, we talk about peer pressure, and when you think about peer pressure, who do you think? Think little children, think young people. Let me tell you, peer pressure, it even is something big people deal with. Everybody has to deal with peer pressure. Whose glory do you love? Whose glory has captured your heart? Only Jesus is worthy. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can wash us clean. Only Jesus can tell us what's true and good and right. Only Jesus can reconcile us to the living God. Only Jesus can give us blessing. Only Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we ask that You would write upon our hearts and that we would be those who understand the message of the Bible. The Old Testament and the New Testament reveals to us Your glory, Lord Jesus. And we pray that You would deliver us and those around us and the people in our country who think that the message of the Old Testament is about the physical nation of Israel, and the message of the New Testament is about a Savior by the name of Jesus. Lord, deliver us from such a perversion of what you tell us your message is. And that, Lord, we would be those who see the glory of Jesus all through Holy Scripture. And that that would capture our hearts this day, and we would not be ashamed to confess you, Lord Jesus, before the world. Lord, you are worthy, and we love and adore you. Bless us now. Deliver us, Lord, from the fear of men. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel of Holy Scripture. In Jesus we pray. Amen.